My name is Linda, and I'd like to share a story that is special for both Christmas and Hanukkah, called The Christmas Menorahs, How a Town Fought Hate, by Janice Cohen, DSW. The story you are about to hear is based on real events that happened to Isaac Schnitzer, Teresa Hanley, and their families. It was a cold December night in Billings, Montana. Christmas lights twinkled on many houses, and from a few homes, Hanukkah menorahs shone in the darkness. It was the third night of Hanukkah. At Isaac Schnitzer's house, there was a menorah in almost every window. Isaac was in the den, working on his math homework. Suddenly, there was a loud crash. Isaac jumped up. Mrs. Davis, the babysitter, ran in from the kitchen. "What happened?" she called. "Are you okay?" "I'm all right," Isaac answered. "I think the noise came from my bedroom." Isaac and Mrs. Davis headed down the hall. When they opened the door to Isaac's room, they felt a rush of icy air. Isaac flipped on the light and they saw what had happened. The big front window was shattered. The electric menorah that had been on the windowsill was lying on the carpet, still glowing. Pieces of glass covered the floor, and on Isaac's bed was a big rock. "My goodness," exclaimed Mrs. Davies. "Someone threw a rock through your window." Isaac rushed to the window and looked outside. The street was quiet. Whoever had thrown the rock was gone. "Who did it?" Isaac asked. "Why would someone do this?" "I don't know," said Mrs. Davis, shivering. She pulled down the blinds and unplugged the menorah. "Isaac, I think we should call your parents. Let's go to the kitchen and find the phone number they left for us." Isaac nodded. It was very cold in his room, and suddenly he didn't want to be there. What if he'd been in bed when the rock had come flying through? A little later, Isaac's parents came home. When they saw the window, they just stared for a moment. Then they turned to Isaac and folded him in their arms. "Are you okay?" his dad asked. "I'm all right," Isaac told them, but he was glad his mom and dad were home. "It must have been scary, honey," Isaac's mom said softly to her son. She turned to Isaac's dad. "I knew this would happen. Those terrible people just kept threatening and threatening." "Threatening what?" Isaac asked. "Who's threatening us?" "Isaac, we'll talk about this in a little while, I promise," his dad told him. "Now your mother and I need to figure out what to do." "We should call the police right away," Isaac's mom insisted. "Chief Inman will come." "Wow, Chief Inman's coming? Remember when he came to my school?" "He's nice," Isaac said. "Yes, he is," his mom agreed, "and I know he'll help us. In the meantime, we should leave everything just the way it is." "You mean so he can look for clues?" Isaac asked her. "Exactly," she told him. Isaac was the first to see Chief Inman as he came up the walk, and he ran to greet him at the door. His parents followed close behind. "Thank you for coming so quickly," said Isaac's mom. The police chief was wearing his uniform. Isaac couldn't help staring at the gun in the holster on his belt. "Isaac, your mom and Mrs. Davis and I need to talk to Chief Inman alone for a while," his dad told him. "Aw, Dad, can't I stay?" Isaac asked. "Not this time," his dad answered, "but we'll call you before Chief Inman leaves." "Yes," said the chief. "I'll need you to tell me exactly what you heard and saw." Isaac reluctantly went to the den and tried to do the rest of his math problems. But he just couldn't. Finally, he closed his books, crept down the hall, and listened outside the living room. He heard his mom say, "We're not taking down the Hanukkah decorations. Being Jewish is who we are. We're not going to hide it." "You shouldn't have to," Chief Inman said, "yet it might be safer. The police will try their best to protect you. But with the holidays here, Jewish families seem to be these haters' special targets, especially families with menorahs in their windows." "I guess that's their idea of getting into the holiday spirit," Isaac's dad muttered angrily. "Throwing rocks through a Jewish kid's bedroom window, it's a twisted way of celebrating," Chief Inman said, shaking his head. When Isaac heard that, he couldn't help rushing into the living room. "Someone threw a rock in my window because I'm Jewish?" he asked. "I think that's why someone threw that rock," Chief Inman answered. There's a small group of people in Billings who have caused a lot of trouble. First, they sent out leaflets saying hateful things about Jews and some other groups who live here. Then they spray-painted threats and insults on a Native American home and tried to frighten African Americans in their church. Last week, they damaged the synagogue, and now they're throwing rocks at menorahs. But I'll tell you this, we're going to do everything we can to stop them.
Are you going to shoot them?
No, son. I don't like to use my gun. Almost never do, as a matter of fact. I'm the kind of policeman who tries to help people without using guns and bullets. Isaac was surprised. All the police he saw on TV seemed to shoot their guns a lot.
Will you put them in jail?
If we can catch them, we will. But I think there's another way to do something about this, Chief Inman answered. And that's if the whole town takes a stand. I'm going to do what I can to make that happen. Now, tell me what you remember about the rock throwing. After Chief Inman and Mrs. Davis had left, Isaac and his parents sat on the kitchen table drinking hot chocolate and talking. Chief Inman said the people who threw the rock probably didn't even know us. Isaac exclaimed, "So why would they do it?" "Just because we're Jewish," his dad answered. "They don't know anything about the kind of people we are, and still they choose to hate us. It's the same with the other families in town they're trying to frighten. They don't know them either, but they don't like their color or their religion or some of their beliefs." "But why?" Isaac asked. "I wish I knew," his dad said. "Haters and bullies have been around for as long as anyone can remember." Isaac was quiet for a few moments, and then he burst out. "Let's put our menorahs away. Then maybe they won't bother us again." His dad put his arm around him. "I know how you feel," he said. "It's frightening. But celebrating Hanukkah is part of being Jewish. It's what we believe in. We're not about to let some bullies keep us from celebrating our holiday." "Dad's right, Isaac," his mom added. "We come from a family of pioneers. They came to Montana so they could do things their own way. In a sense, I guess we're pioneers too." "But I don't want to be a pioneer," Isaac protested. "I want to be like everyone else." "Sticking up for a belief is never easy," his dad said, "but we're not alone. A lot of people in this town, all kinds of people, are really angry at what these haters have been doing, and we're going to fight back. For one thing, Mom's decided to get in touch with the local TV stations. She wants to be interviewed so she can tell everyone in Billings what happened to us and ask people to help."
"Mom's going to be on TV? Really?" Isaac asked excitedly.
"You know, Mom," his dad said, "when something happens that she thinks is wrong, she speaks her mind." Isaac rolled his eyes. "Yeah, that's Mom, all right." The next day, a television reporter and a cameraman came to the Schnitzer's home. As the camera rolled, Isaac's mom spoke about the acts of hate toward other people in Billings. And then she showed the reporter and the cameraman Isaac's bedroom. Earlier, police detectives had come to take pictures and look for clues, so nothing had been touched. That evening, Isaac was excited to see his room on the news, but he felt kind of funny, too. He had slept in his parents' bedroom the night before, but tonight he would be back in his own room again. Would he be safe? The Hanukkah decorations were still up in all the other windows, but he hadn't put his menorah back yet, and he wasn't sure he wanted to. What if someone threw another rock? He talked about this with his parents as they finished cleaning up his room. The broken window had been repaired, and Isaac's bed had been moved away from the window. "We're going to do everything we can to protect you, Isaac," his mom reassured him. "Chief Inman has arranged to have the police keep a careful eye on our house, and our neighbors have promised that they're going to do the same." "Whether or not you put your menorah back up is your choice," his dad said. "You can take some time to think about it." Isaac nodded. He still didn't know what to do. Many people in Billings saw Mrs. Schnitzer on TV and had read about what was happening in the town newspaper. And then a special meeting was called by Chief Inman and a woman named Margaret McDonald. She was a friend of the Schnitzers and had worked with many of the churches in Billings on special projects.
The day of the meeting was cold and blustery, but a big crowd filled the hall. Isaac and his parents were there too. The police are doing everything they can to catch these people, Chief Inman told the crowd, but it's important that we take a stand as a community. We have to show them that an act of hate against even one person in Billings is an act of hate against all of us. I have an idea, said Mrs. McDonald. I've been thinking about a story my parents told me when I was a child. It's about what happened in Denmark during World War II. It was so inspiring, I've never forgotten it. This is what I remember. During World War II, many countries in Europe were fighting the Nazis, who believed that Jews and some other people should be imprisoned or killed because they were different. The Nazis ordered Jews to sew stars on their clothing so they could be easily identified. But Denmark had a courageous king named Christian. King Christian believed that the lives of all the Danish people were precious. According to legend, after the Nazis conquered Denmark, King Christian said that if the Jews had to wear stars, then he would too. The next morning, when King Christian rode on horseback out of his palace, he was wearing a Jewish star. Soon, many of the Danes were wearing them too. The Danes knew that the enemy had threatened to punish them if they tried to help their Jewish neighbors. But that didn't stop these brave people, because they stood together against the Nazis. Many Jews were saved. The Schnitzers have been urged to take down their menorahs so they won't be a target. But that's not the answer, continued Mrs. McDonald. What if the rest of us were told to take down our Christmas trees and lights because people might throw rocks at us for being Christian? I say, let's take a stand like the Danish people did. Let's all put up menorahs. Great idea, said Reverend Torney, who was the minister at the First Congregational Church. I'll speak to the other religious leaders who couldn't come to the meeting today, and then we'll talk to our congregations. But where can we get menorahs? Someone asked. I think I have a solution, Reverend Torney answered. Our Sunday school just had a lesson about Hanukkah, and we handed out pictures of menorahs to all the children. We'll make copies of the picture, and the churches can help distribute them through the town. Let's do it, called out Becky Thomas, a neighbor of the Schnitzers, and lots of others in the crowd shouted out their agreement. Reverend Torney smiled. The plan might just work. The day after the meeting, Isaac's class talked about what had happened to Isaac and his family. Isaac's teacher, Mrs. Pearson, had asked Isaac to bring in his menorah and to explain why his family celebrated Hanukkah. His friend, Teresa Henley, had never seen a menorah. What are the candles for? She asked. So Isaac told the story of Hanukkah. Long ago, in the 2nd century BC, Israel was ruled by King Antiochus of Syria. He decreed that the Jews could no longer practice their religious traditions. This greatly angered them, so a small group of freedom fighters called the Maccabees fought a three-year war against the Syrians. Though they were greatly outnumbered, the Maccabees fought heroically and were finally victorious. After the war, according to legend, the Maccabees went to reclaim the temple in Jerusalem and to prepare it for worship. When they tried to light the sacred lamp at the temple's altar, they found only one small jar of oil, just enough to provide light for one single night. But miraculously, the oil kept the lamp burning for 8 nights. That's why the menorah has 9 candles. There is one for each night, with an extra candle to light the others. Every year, Jews celebrate Hanukkah by lighting menorahs and remembering the victory of Maccabees against religious intolerance. Some bullies threw a rock in the window where I had my menorah, Isaac blurted out, just because I'm Jewish. Were you scared? Jonathan wanted to know. Well, maybe a little, Isaac admitted. That was a hard thing to have happen to you and your family, Mrs. Pearson said. I read about it in the Billings Gazette, and so did the other teachers. We're all very sorry and angry. Like Isaac said, Hanukkah celebrates the fight for religious freedom. The truth is, people have had to fight this battle over and over again. We're doing it now in Billings. Has anyone in the class ever been picked on for being different? Do you know someone to whom that happened? I know someone, Teresa volunteered. Last year, there was a new boy in my class. His name was Caleb, and he is Cheyenne. He comes from the reservation. Some of the kids didn't like that, and they weren't very nice to him. So I tried to be his friend. I talked to him, and we played games together. And then the other kids started to play with him, too. Well, good for you, Mrs. Pearson told her. How did it feel when the other kids started to follow your example? It made me feel happy, Teresa answered. My sister has to use a wheelchair, Jeff said, and some kids at school stare at her and tease her because she's different. They shouldn't do that. It hurts her feelings and sometimes makes her cry. Yes, that's very cruel, Mrs. Pearson said. What do you think you would do if someone was bullying you? Maybe I would go to another school, Jasmine answered. Well, you might want to, said Mrs. Pearson. But wouldn't that be a little like running away? It's just the opposite of standing up and saying to the bully, I won't let you push me around. Yeah, if you run away from bullies, they'll know you're scared and they'll push you around even more, said Matthew. My dad told me that. He's absolutely right, Mrs. Pearson agreed. And that's why the town is taking a stand. Because when people stand up to bullies, especially when they stand up together, lots of times the bullies back down. And something else happens too. The people who are being picked on know they aren't alone. They know other people care. So some of us are going to be putting menorahs in our windows, even though we are not Jewish. We want to show our support for Isaac's family and the other families that are being harassed in Billings. Teresa liked the idea. She'd been trying to imagine how she would feel if someone threw a rock into her window because she had a Christmas tree. It wasn't fair that Isaac had to have this happen to him, and she knew she had to do something to help. When Teresa got home from school that day, she told her mom what the class had talked about. I want to have a menorah in our window, Mom, for Isaac, Teresa said. I've been thinking the same thing, her mom said, but it's a decision we should make as a family. We've got to wait until everyone comes home, and then we'll talk about this together. It seemed like forever before Teresa's three sisters, her brother, and her father were home. Finally, as they ate their supper, the family talked about Teresa's idea. I don't know much about Hanukkah, Michael said. Me either, said Julianne. Teresa told her family how Isaac had explained the holiday. The other children wanted to hear more. So they went to the encyclopedia and looked up the section about Hanukkah, and each child read a part aloud. This holiday's pretty neat, Michael said. I like the part about the Maccabees. In the encyclopedia, there was a picture of a menorah, just as Teresa had described it. Let's draw our own menorah, she said, and put it in the window. But what if people think we're Jewish? Elizabeth asked. So what if they do? Michael said. We could get a rock thrown through our window, that's what, said Elizabeth nervously, or maybe something worse. We would be taking a risk, Mr. Hanley said, but some risks are worth it. People shouldn't be treated this way. What if it happened to us? Wouldn't we want people to help? Count me in, said Michael. I'll do it, said Elizabeth. Julianne and Kathleen agreed too. Think of it like this, Mrs. Hanley said. We never did like our living room windows much anyway. The family laughed, but they knew what they would do. Mom, Isaac called out as he walked in the door after gymnastics. My friend Greg told me that the Catholic high school put a big sign in their window that said, "Let's try to get along." And someone threw a brick at it and smashed the window to a zillion pieces. Yes, I know, his mom answered. I was just in a meeting about it. As usual, those cowards did their dirty work in the dark so they couldn't be seen. Thank goodness the school was empty and no one was hurt. Is the school mad at us? Isaac asked her. Honey, why would the school be mad at us? If they're mad at anyone, they would be mad at the person who threw the brick. But they were sort of doing this for us, and now their window got smashed. Isaac's mom thought for a moment before she answered. Yes, Isaac, they're doing it for us. And for the other families that these haters are trying to scare. But they're doing it for themselves, too. They're trying to make Billings a better place to live for everyone. And then Isaac's mom had an idea. Don't take your coat off. We're going out for a drive. Where? Isaac asked. It was almost time for dinner. You'll see. It was getting dark as Isaac and his mother began to drive slowly through the neighborhood. Look, Mom, Isaac cried. Look at all the menorahs. In house after house, in the frosty windows, Isaac could see pictures of menorahs. There wasn't a single street without Hanukkah symbols. Like our house, Isaac said. That's right, his mother agreed. Did anyone else have rocks thrown through their windows? Isaac asked. Yes, they did, his mom answered. But you know what? Isaac shook his head. People have become even more determined. The Billings Gazette printed a full-page picture of a menorah and asked people to display it on a door or window in their homes. And they did, Isaac. People put up thousands of menorahs. Isaac was silent for a bit thinking, and then he said slowly, Mom, remember last year when I told you I wanted to bring some of my Hanukkah presents to school to show the other guys? Uh-huh, his mom answered. Well, now, don't be mad, but I didn't tell them they were Hanukkah presents. I felt funny, Mom. Nobody else gets Hanukkah presents. Everyone gets presents for Christmas, and I didn't want to be different. I just wanted to be like the rest of the class. So what did you do? I guess I sort of told them they were Christmas presents. But not this year, Mom, he added quickly. This time when I show my presents, I'm going to say I got them for Hanukkah. I'm glad, Isaac, his mom answered softly. Mom, stop, Isaac suddenly shouted. What is it, she asked, slamming on the brakes. Look, ahead was a house with a big picture window, and taped onto the window was a large picture of a beautiful menorah drawn with many brightly colored crayons. Over the menorah was a message in gold glitter. For our friend Isaac, it read, with love from Teresa and the rest of the Hanley family. Underneath was a picture of a Jewish star and a Christian cross. She didn't tell me she was doing this, Isaac said. She never said anything. Isaac's mom turned toward him and he saw there were tears in her eyes. You know, honey, hate can make a lot of noise. Love and courage are usually quieter, but in the end, they are the strongest. All the way home, Isaac looked at the menorahs in his neighbor's windows. He thought about what his mom had said and then he made a decision. The next day was gray and gloomy, but in the evening, a warm, inviting light shone from Isaac's bedroom. Gathered round the window were Isaac and all the Hanley children. They had just finished putting up new holiday decorations. Isaac's menorah was perched on the sill. Each branch was brightly lit and shone on the sign, which had been strung across the length of the window. Happy Hanukkah to everyone in Billings, the sign read. With love, Isaac. As Hanukkah passed and Christmas grew nearer, more and more menorahs could be seen through Billings. The town continued to fight against the acts of hatred, and slowly but surely, those acts began to stop. The townspeople told each other that this was the gift they had given to themselves and that it was their best holiday gift. Happy holidays from ICANN.